I'm Madeline List, the Providence reporter for the Providence Journal, and I'm sitting down today with Linda Borg, who is our education reporter. Hi, Linda.
Hi.
We are here to talk about the recently released report on the Providence schools. So this report is stunning. Why haven't we heard about these problems before?
Well, actually, it's interesting you should mention that, because back in the early 90s, 1993, there was a year-long probe. In fact, it was called the probe report that came up with some of these very same conclusions. And at the time, there was huge outcry, and then nothing happened. So we have known about this for a long time. I think what the report does is just put it all in one really powerful and stunning package.
So who do you think is to blame for all of these problems?
Well, I have to say, I do agree with the new commissioner, Infante Green, that there's plenty of blame to go around. So everybody kind of knew a piece of this. The teachers did, the union did, administrators did, the Department of Ed did, the Providence School Board did. And I think the problem is that everybody owned it, but no one really did. Everybody had like a piece of the responsibility, but I think those pieces never came together and really talked. So that's what I would say.
So in terms of starting to fix these problems, where would you begin?
I think I would begin with the governance, because one of the biggest problems that both Chris Maher and some of the principals identified is it takes weeks, if not months, to get a simple request for supplies fixed. And that's something that the city council could very quickly, I think, change. The other thing, I think, is there's a common belief that there's too many cooks in the kitchen. So I think giving the superintendent and perhaps the school board more direct line authority, and making the council and to the mayor's office sort of more two arms away or a distance away from day-to-day decisions, you could really streamline the process for both hiring, supplies, and also policy changes.
So what were some of the most shocking things you saw in this report?
I think some of the most shocking stuff is, in some ways, the complacency. So, and also Commissioner Infante Green pointed that out. So there were teachers who have seen egregious things happening, a child urinating on a teacher's desk, buildings with asbestos and leaks, kids out of control, and either they felt powerless to change things, or they tried to and got nowhere, so they gave up. And you hear that throughout the report, that there were these horrendous conditions in the schools, rampant absenteeism both by teachers and students, the misbehavior, the lack of support for English language learners. But no one entity really fought to change this. So I think what we have now is outrage. And even though we've had these reports in the past, I think you have to turn the outrage now into action.
And do you feel there's the political will to get that done?
If you just take at face value what Governor Rondo, Commissioner Infante Green, and Mayor Alorza said at this morning's press conference, they all seem to be in alignment that drastic change and possibly drastic intervention has to happen. But the cynic in me has heard this and seen this before, and I would say the final outcome is still up for grabs.
So what have been some of the reactions you've been hearing?
So everybody is saying the same thing. I'm not surprised, but I didn't know how bad it was. And we've heard that from the commissioner, who's been out visiting schools for a month now. We heard that from the governor today. We've heard that from the mayor and also the teachers union. And I think what stuns me is, how have people who have been so close to this not known that it was this bad?
And how do you think we got to this point?
It's really been, and several people mentioned this at the press conference this morning, it's been decades of neglect. So back in the 80s, a lot of teaching positions were filled, due to nepotism. It mattered who you knew to get a job in the department. And more recently, we've had a constant churn at the top with a new superintendent every 3 or 4 years. And every time someone new comes in, they have a different idea. They have a different, you know, golden ball that they're chasing. And then we've had, I would say, you know, pretty much consistent meddling in the school department by outside forces. So the superintendent in some ways has been constrained from making changes because it has to go through all these other bureaucracies, including the council and the mayor's office.
Have you spoken to any parents about how they feel about what's going on?
I haven't. I plan to do that in the future. But one of the parents, Ms. Santos, spoke at last night's Board of Ed meeting. And she started to break down in tears and said that she has been seeing this and fighting for kids for several years and just been beating her head against the wall. And one of the biggest pieces of the report is the complete parent frustration and in some senses disengagement. Parents feel so unable to access the system that many have given up. The positive light is two parents groups have recently formed and they're very active.
And how does this tie into the issue of test scores?
So I think the galvanizing moment for Rhode Island is when the RICAS scores, the new version of the Massachusetts scores, came out this winter. And, you know, as a state, we were performing less, for the most part, than the town of Seacock. So when we could compare ourselves to Massachusetts, there was finally this aha moment that we're really not serving our kids and getting them up to standards. So I think the RICAS is what drove this report to even happen, because suddenly we had data where we could compare ourselves to a high-performing state.
And what do you see as long-term ramifications?
I hope the long-term ramifications are sort of multifold. I hope Providence gets more money for ELLs and special needs students, which were both identified in the report as being very under-resourced. I hope the teachers are willing to negotiate a contract that is more about education and less about compliance. I hope that people get out of the way and let the superintendent do his job, his or her job. And mostly, I hope that parents feel they can access a system that cares about them.
And how do you think, you know, so Providence is in the process of looking for a new superintendent. So how do you think this will affect that process and the role of anyone who does come into that?
I think it's going to be very tough for someone to parachute into this, particularly because the governor has promised there'll be much more state involvement. So I don't know who we're going to attract that reads this report and says, I want to come here.
And for whoever does end up coming, what do you think they will have to do or be expected to do?
I think they will be expected to perform almost a miracle, because they have to figure out some way of satisfying or coming to grips with the teachers' union. They have to somehow get on their side, the school board, the mayor's office, parents. I mean, a superintendent has so many constituencies, and it's hard to please all of them. So I think it's going to be an extremely difficult balancing act.